This is awesome radio. It
put the frickin' DS down. By the way...
Not a DS. The PSP.
Oh, well. Pardon. Please continue.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much of that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you listen to the show, if this long, you know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
All right, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 104. I'm C4.
I'm Cobart.
And I'm Zaphan.
All right, thank you, Zaphan. Finally, we get to record episode 104, and I must say thank you very much, because this was inspired by you after you attempting to record for us.
Twice.
Miserably. You and Zombie and Mocker?
Yeah,
miserably failing.
Beat him briefly.
Miserably failing both times, I might add.
This is going to be so much fun to edit once again.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Will.
But at least it'll only be like 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly. This will be nice and short and sweet. And this is just after I posted on the site. Sorry, I couldn't make it because I had family in town and all this stuff, and we were going to miss another week. I came home after visiting family and all this good stuff to find out that you had attempted. And you know what? I'm going to use that little clip that you gave us, like the little four-minute clip, as proof as the outro, I think, for this week.
Awesome.
There was even like a riot going on in IRC.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad. People are nice and upset. And I understand, because I know how much it sucks ass when there's a show that you actually listen to and it's just like, they can't make... You know what's a good example of that is EverQuest Radio, whatever they call themselves now, online gaming radio. I used to get pissed off when they wouldn't record because I loved listening to that show. So, in case you don't know, the website, hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And IRC is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. And let's see. Let's get right into the email here. Because we actually don't have that much. And no, I'm not going to bombard everybody with email, I don't think, this time. Hopefully, anyway, because it's been so long. Some of it was a little old, so I did have to scrap some. I know I got sent pictures of the Xbox XDK from someone. I forgot because I'm not checking my email right now. I got them before from Spets, I believe. Thanks. And then something else, something about EA does suck. And, yeah, that was old.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Quake 4 on Linux for free. This comes to us from Data Maggot. It says, hey, guys, just a quick FYI. With your Windows version of Quake 4, id Software is providing Linux binaries to get your files to run on a Linux box, wootage. The link is actually id Software's FTP, which is, I'm sure everybody's well aware of. It's ftp.idsoftware.com, and there's a directory in there called Linux, and under that is Quake 4. It says, there you go. Good luck, Soars, with the move. We're all looking forward to episode 104. And that's really good news, because I actually heard nothing about a Linux version of that at first. However, I sure hope it's a lot better than the Windows version, which we might get to later in the show, because I am still extremely bent about that, and I have one hell of a tale to tell about Quake 4.
I will defend Quake 4.
You haven't been able to fix that yet? I've heard of lots of people having problems and then downloading some patch that fixed it.
We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's see. Okay. The next email I have is from, this is from Yum again. Let's see. It says, dearest C4, I hope your birthday was most splendorific. I have some bad news. My DS is broken, so no Nintendogs for me until I get a replacement. I was at the playground playing with the kids like I usually do. Oh, how I love the teeter-totter. It usually takes 7 or 8 of the little ones to lift me up. Anyway, some beastly Neanderthal confused me with some sicko and told me to get away from his kid. I told him we were just playing Nintendogs, and the brute took my DS and threw it into the street. I screamed and ran for my van. Midway, I realized that I was abandoning Popcorn and Buttercup. I ran to them, lickety-split, and scooped them into my bosom. I cried all the way to the group home. I pray my pups are okay. I won't know until I replace my DS. Don't worry, I'll keep you posted. That's gotta suck. I already managed to drop my PSP one time. Lucky me, it landed on a pile of clothes when I was moving.
Or he lives in a group home?
I don't know. These are the wildest emails. I am scared to go back to the playground. I can only muster the fortitude to drive through the parking lot. I saw my picture on the bulletin board. I guess they want me back, which is nice. I did make it out to the movies. I saw A History of Violence. This movie is just not worth seeing. The plot involves a small-town diner owner who the mob believes is to be a past associate who disappeared some 20 years ago. Some lower boss and his thugs are sent to get him and bring him back to New York to the big boss. Is it a case of mistaken identity? Could this model citizen who has lived in Podunkville all this time, married, raised a family, made good coffee, actually be a ruthless member of La Casa Nostra? Don't bother wondering. Again, this movie sucked. The identifiable cast members are Viggo Mortensen, Order Taker or Knee Breaker, William Hurt, the big boss, and Ed Harris, lower boss. Viggo's acting skills are that of a wooden stool. His performance of such a mysterious man with or without a past could put a meth addict to bed. There were a couple of action scenes where he did well. I think Viggo needs to stick to movies with punching, kicking, or chopping. The movie features two of the creepiest sex scenes I've seen in many years. 69ing just shouldn't be in any movie normal people would go see in a theater. The other sex scene involved Viggo raping his wife on the stairs. She eventually really gets into it. Oh, it's typed wrong. Spelled wrong. Then she runs off disgusted. William Hurt's terrible New York accent made paying... Okay.
Did you just say that he spelled it wrong?
Yeah, he spelled it as is. Gets into is, but it's supposed to be it.
Oh, okay, it was a typo. Never mind. Sorry.
William Hurt's terrible New York accent made paying attention to his character's plotting difficult. Ed Harris was actually great. He really played a creepy sleazeball really well, plus his eyeball was bitchin'. There was an incident involving barbed wire. Ew. There were some violent scenes that were just above B-movie quality. A nice tight shot of a guy getting shot in the face point blank. Also, a guy gets a palm to the nose, causing the bone to pierce his brains. I give the movie $1.50. It stunk.
Nice.
All right, that was A History of Violence, and that was from MMMMYUM. Now, let's see. God damn, these pages are
stuck together. I got to say one thing about his Nintendogs, Buttercup and Popcorn. Apparently, I was unaware, but apparently they go by real time. Like, you have to play the game, like, at least 2 times a day to feed them and water them and all this kind of stuff. So he very well might end up with 2 dead dogs.
Oh, my God, all that because a case of mistaken identity.
Although I'm not sure if they die or not. It does not seem like Nintendo's MO to let them die.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that.
Apparently what happens is they run away. They don't die.
Oh, okay. All right, we have a Quake 4 mini review here. This is from Flank. It says, "Hi, C4. Since you cannot get Quake 4 running with any level of stability, I thought I'd give you a quick mini review. What can I say? I gotta admit, I'm having some great fun. I've been a longtime Quake fan, and frankly, there have been so many first-person shooters out there, I all got dried up on them. Half-Life 2 was a complete non-event for me, and Doom 3 was just too darn dark, and you were pathetically underpowered in that game. Quake 4, I, however, reckon gets back to what Quake was. It's fast, it's fun, and you have a chance to kick some serious ass. Yes, the graphics seem less than what Doom 3 was, but I don't think it matters. Most of us don't have the very latest cards or systems, but we still want great-looking, fast graphics. This game delivers. Sounds are good enough for the job, they aren't blowing my load, but they're good enough, and the ambient mood is right. About the only games that I try to compare other FPSs to are, of course, the original Doom, Quake 1, and Deus Ex. Quake 4 is a great step up from the original Doom and Quake 1 graphically and sound-wise, but definitely lacks the story quality of Deus Ex. In fact, the story does seem to be a bit of a mash to get you from point A to point B. Maybe I'm slow, or it just hasn't happened in there yet, but I don't really see anything going on in there for story. Having said, this is not really what Quake is about, I think. Quake is more about loosely filled story wrapped up around action, and this is what Quake 4 is. Multiplayer, I haven't tried and I don't care about. This would be one of those Fragmania games which just plain bores me. The controls are the de facto first-person shooter style and don't lack nor should it need any innovation. They are fast, responsive, and don't falter. AI is decent, but it wasn't. But I wasn't on the hardest difficulty. I could easily see this becoming more a competition of numbers and resource management than skill. Kind of sucks, but hey, AI ain't easy to code, damn it. Weapons are your standard fare and nothing more, but some are powerful and give you a sense of godliness, which is awesome. So, in summary, if you are expecting an in-depth story-based game, look elsewhere. But if you are looking for what pretty much is a graphical extension to Quake 2, then this is a great game. It is innovative and taking the next step forward in first-person shooter FPS gaming? Hardly. It's pure action and plenty of it. I'd much prefer to play the next Deus Ex than this, but when there's a serious lack of inspiring gaming around, at least in my mind, this is a good stopgate. If you want to think, find another game. If you want to kill time or ease the stress of a shitty day, go for it. Out of 5, I think it deserves a 3.5, but nothing more. That is, of course, for those who can run it stably. Otherwise, for those of you, those like yourself, it's a 2, I imagine, maybe less. Can you sniff my excitement? I don't think so. It's not like that, but it's fun. Is it worth buying? Hell no. Well, not on Australian prices, which I might add this game at the, has the $90, $90 to $100 mark. Place it at $50 Australian, and then it's worth a purchase, maybe even $60 Australian, but not $90 to $100. Peace, Blink. Boy, I can't wait to tear up Quake 4 later on.
I will defend it.
This is going to be good because I am burned. I am really bent about this. But we've got about 2 more emails to go through here, and I think we're going to jump into the Quake 4 debate right away then, as a matter of fact, instead of the DS stuff that we wanted to talk about because of the 2 mentions of it in the email. But let me get through these last, like, 2 emails here. It says, let's see, this is from Covance. Oh, no, a competition for the longest email ever. Okay, this is C4 Cobar and host. Hey, look at that. We actually have a third person here. That would be C4 Cobar and Dave Man.
Yeah.
Mr. Uber himself. I have hung around the chat room for quite a while off and on, but I can't recall if I've ever sent in an email. Good job on passing show 100, by the way. A lot of shows usually tank, and the host leaves after about 100. I am linking an article about to play Scary Evil Darth Vader music. in which the man needs to really die soon because he provides absolutely no value to our society whatsoever. Now, this is where we get to fake it. Dun, 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 dun. Because I find it really funny. Yeah, I did pretty good that time. I am not sure how credible this site or story is, but I was at least amused. I'll post a link at the end of the email. I usually have to listen to your show in chunks since I subscribe to about 30 different podcasts, so I get a little behind of some of the things you're talking about sometimes. I wanted to agree with C4 about playing the hell out of games and then kind of falling off, referencing episode 100. I played the hell out of games when I was younger, and I would spend about 10 to 13 hours straight playing some RPGs such as Final Fantasy VI. The game industry has taken a turn in producing games, but you also have to consider the societal change. When these consoles first came out, it was something new, different. People wanted to try it out, and it was affordable to only people who could pay. Companies were into producing products they believed in. That is not the case today. You can't find many companies making systems and games for the pure joy of making gaming experience enjoyable, say for Nintendo. You have some small gaming companies who make games for the joy of making games, but you are also bombarded with companies like Electronic Arts and Sony that do what I like to refer as game jamming. Similar to media jamming, they flood the market with their games, making the consumer believe that they are the only gaming company and we are forced to play their lame-ass games. Think about every store you go, the major publishers on the shelves are EA and one or two others. Game development competition has almost been pulverized by the big corporations. And I have to wholeheartedly agree on that there.
Well, it's a very common practice in all kinds of different markets. I mean, look what Walmart does. That's exactly what they do.
Yes, it is. Another thing to think about is quality versus quantity. By this, I mean that kids and young adults are literally being brain fried. With all the advertising on this game and that game, they're this genre and that genre. No wonder so many people get pulled from one game to the next and never finish a game. No wonder people get burned out. Just give us a game and let us have time to beat it, and don't shove all kinds of crap down our throats. I play games from time to time, but I cannot keep up with all the new and crappy titles that come out about every 2 months or less. If they focused on great gameplay, great graphics, simplified controls to a degree, and released the game when it is ready, I think games would do much better and sell longer because of the anticipation of a really great game. All companies have gotten the mindset of cheaper, faster, but they forget better. I guess I've ranted long enough. Hopefully you find a place to live soon since I saw you moving on the website. See you guys in the chat. Maybe one day I will come on the show and give my opinions. Take care, Covance. I'm all moved and everything's good, by the way, in case I failed to mention that or didn't post on the site, which I probably didn't. But you know what? That is a really excellent point about the games, because I notice, you know, you see these games come out now, they're $50, $60, and, well, okay, let's say $40 to $60, and it seems like within 2 months, they're down to $20 now.
Well, it's been like that for a long time. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, that way people who can bear to wait can actually pay a decent price for what they're going to play.
But you think maybe because the prices are going low because that same company's rushing out a next new game? You know, it's like, look at, you know, if Electronic Arts, you know, puts out one, you know, say, I can't use sports titles because they only put out those once a year, the roster updates. But, like, you know, let's say they put out, like, Burnout, right? And then 2 months go down the road, and then they put out, you know, another racing game from a different, you know, development house, but it's still EA's title. They still want that to sell also, and it'll cause competition with themselves, and now they've got to drop, you know, $20 on the one game because it's older. People know the name now. You know, they say, oh, that's been on the shelf for a while. This game's new and better and faster and all that, you know. So they'll make that one $50 and the other one $20, and it'll still sell some of the $20.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but we can use that to our advantage. I mean, all you have to do is hold back a few months, and bam, you can buy something for $20 instead of $50.
Right, which I've been doing myself lately, and I'm not too pleased about having to do that, though, because, you know, I like to get wrapped up in the hype, and I know you do. And, you know, once that game finally comes out, there's nothing like going to the store that first day, you know, well, going to multiple stores, trying to track it down, and, you know, finally getting your hands on the game that you waited for so long, and coming home on release day and playing it. And, you know, it kills me to have to wait.
Oh, yeah, well, with major titles that you just got to have, so you spend the extra dough. I mean, but, on the ones that you're like, yeah, well, you know, that looks like it could be pretty cool, you can go ahead and hold off.
Excellent point on those major titles. This is going to bring me right into the Quake 4.
Hey, I also got to talk about Call of Duty 2 in the same manner.
Oh, okay, you played some of that too?
Yeah, and I say that without enthusiasm.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That sounds like a pretty big letdown. Let me hammer through these last two. They're both really short. One of them is more of a personal email, but it was so funny I had to read it because I do know we have some Seinfeld fans on that listen to the show, and this is from Spets, and it says, birthday, I fucking forgot. Happy birthday, buddy. I slaughtered 1,000 baby seals in your honor. Oh, and I donated $100 in your name to the Human Fund. That's hilarious if you're a Seinfeld fan. I laughed my ass off. And let's see, we have one last email. This is from Cyber Voracious Fox on the DS. I'm a DS owner, and I know the Nintendo DS is the most unique handheld in the market today. The PSP is only useful for watching fan subs and movies on the go. The DS has a lot of great imports like, oh Christ, here we go with all these words I can't pronounce again. Osu, Tatake, Oenden, Daigaso, or some shit. Band Brothers, Puzzle Bobble DS, Pokemon Turquoise, and Jump Superstars. The DS has a lot of good games. Some fell under the radar, like Dig Dug, Digging Strike, Meteos, Zookeeper, Field of Magic, XYXX, Bomberman, and more. There's a slew of great DS games coming out, like Super Princess Peach, what the fuck, Golden Nugget Casino DS, for real, Metroid Prime Hunter.
Hold on, I gotta stop you.
Wait, let me get, like, this is a sentence, I have one sentence left. Brain Flex, Brain Training, Custom Robo DS, Mario Basket 3-on-3, and Super Monkey Ball DS, sincerely, Cyber Voracious Fox.
I'm hoping it's just something with my connection, but you are, like, wobbling and going in and out, and it's all kinds of funky.
He's a bit weak in the sound. You sound a lot tinny.
Do I really?
You're better now,
well,
but...
You sound fine, but it was, like, wobbly. It was, like, going in and out and, like, getting real loud and quiet and like I'm doing right now.
Huh, that's really bizarre, especially because I have a headset on, so the microphone's not exactly moving off my head anywhere, so I don't know what to say, but, anyway, I thought you had a comment on the DS game.
No, sorry, I was just... And it's actually fine now, so I don't know, maybe... I don't know.
I think you're just talking too loud.
Maybe that, or I was rocking back and forth in the chair like I tend to do once in a while.
Like someone has high-functioning autism.
Exactly. Anyway, let's see, there was a bit of news I wanted to get to. Not a whole lot of stuff, just a bunch of crappy things like Oblivion was delayed.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's a real pisser. This is The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. It was supposed to come out with the launch of the Xbox 360 on PC and Xbox 360, but now it's delayed for both, by the way. A lot of people weren't so sure if it was just the Xbox 360 version. It is both the PC version and the X360 version.
And I believe that's slated for quarter one, 2006, right?
I believe so. They said somewhere between like Feb and August or something, April.
Yeah, well, frankly, if it was not coming out quite right and it was glitchy and whatnot, I'm glad they didn't let Microsoft bully them into sending it out fast.
I was sure they were going to, because I do recall, I don't remember if we were doing the show or if I was just talking with somebody, I was saying that, no, I'm sure this game will make release, because damn it, Microsoft will make sure it happens.
I was thinking that, too.
You better believe that there was a big old meeting that involving Jay Allard and all those others with Bethesda Soft, and Bethesda Soft probably just said, you know what, no.
I'm glad they had that much power, because personally I believe that Microsoft was holding them for, like, a semi-flagship title, because as it looks to me, there really is no flagship title for the Xbox 360. It's just a bunch of sports and racing games.
That's kind of what supports the Xbox, though, that and the occasional Halo release. I mean, Halo 2, were they doing an update to that for that, or were they just releasing or letting you use the one that's currently out with, like, updated graphics?
Just upgraded graphics, and that's hypothetical. It's not actually seen yet.
Yeah. I'm sure that's them actually lying to people, and I'm sure it has to do with, you know, all this new HD support and all this crap, and you have to have, like, some kind of super TV to play this crap.
Yeah, you have to understand that the sports gamers are the bread and butter of Microsoft.
Unfortunately. Speaking of... Yeah, Hooks definitely supports it. I actually, you know, the worst part is I know this goddamn thing is going to suck, and yet I still want one. It's like I'm convinced that I have to have one of these things just because I know that there's going to be a few games worth having on it.
There's a little needle in that hat you wear that sucks a chemical into your brain.
My Xbox 360 hat?
Yeah.
Nice. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I've actually seen one.
Seen an Xbox 360?
No, the hat. Yeah, we have one at work now, and I think I saw it playing Call of Duty or something. And I don't know, it looks okay. I don't know if the games are any fun. It sure looks decent, but I think what I'm most excited about is, I believe it's Cameo that I was looking at.
I heard good things about that.
That's a game that'd probably be right up your alley.
I think so, and it sure looked amazing on what I was watching. I could not believe this game. And, I mean, the rest of the kind of stuff, I mean, look at the... Okay, in fact, here, I'm looking right at the list here. I've got a pamphlet. I have Microsoft propaganda in my hands. It tells hundreds of games in development, including, let's see, look at this, we're looking at Amped 3, which I could actually kind of get excited about, because I'm looking forward to a good snowboarding game, because I haven't found one yet, but I actually liked the Amped series more than anything else so far. Call of Duty 2, Condemned Criminal Origins from Sega? What the fuck is that?
It's like this weird, I think it's the third or first person game, and it's sort of like a horror survival game.
Huh, okay, Elder Scrolls 4, we know about that. FIFA Soccer 06, that's EA. Frame City Killer, Full Auto from Sega. Gun, oh, you know what, have you guys seen anything on Gun? That looks pretty interesting, it's like a Western.
Nothing besides the fact of the Western.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it, but nothing real serious.
Huh, well, I was checking it out. In fact, as a matter of fact, now that I have TV here, I remember watching a whole, like, 20 or 30-minute thing about it on G4, and I don't know, it certainly looks pretty good. I don't know if it's any fun or not, but I don't know, it looks pretty interesting. Cameo, Madden 2006, NBA 2006, NBA Live, oh, no, that's NBA 2K6, NBA Live 2006 from EA, Need for Speed Most Wanted, NHL 2K6, The Outfit, Perfect Dark Zero, that's from our friends at Rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least it was.
Yeah, now it's mostly Microsoft, but yeah, God, just give us Killer Instinct 3 and I'll be a happy man. Peter Jackson's King Kong, Project Gotham Racing 3, Quake 4, Ridge Racer, Saints Row, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2006, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, and Top Spin 2. That's the little list and a little propaganda here of stuff that's going to be out, like, fairly recent. That does seem like mostly sports and racing titles to me.
And the other ones are on the PC.
That is, however, a lot of launch titles. Or am I just so used to Nintendo with, like, two or three?
That's about 25 or so. Yeah, must be. Yeah. Now I don't know. This is quite a bit, though. That's about 25 games. And remember, let's try to go down in order so we don't talk over each other so much. So, but yeah, that's, I don't know. I'm looking at this little pamphlet here. It shows, you know, what comes with the core system, which we've covered before. And I hate to say it. Like, I really want one of these stupid-ass things. And none of these games I want to play except for Cameo, really. Like, okay, sure, I would like to try out Amp 3, but I know it's going to suck. Oblivion's going to be a PC title for me. Gun, I'm sure, would be kind of fun, but I don't see me actually, like, making efforts to go play it. And Perfect Dark Zero would be, like, the next thing that I might care about. And that's about it, really.
And certainly you wouldn't buy a whole system for Gun.
Yeah, absolutely not. But Cameo, maybe. I don't know. That game looks really good.
Is that an Xbox only?
That I don't know.
I'd like to note that because of the fact I'm in a different country, I'm accidentally talking over everyone because I have a good chunk of pain.
Oh, right. I know. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'll still chew you out anyway.
I don't care about you. The audience should...
Just make sure you hold that talk button down until after the end of your sentence so that you don't keep cutting yourself off. You managed to do that the last couple of times.
I suck.
No, you're Uber,
yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah. I'm Uber, and you all fail.
That's right. Now, on other good news, October 18th marks 20 years of the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Nice.
Good for them.
They need to do something about
They should have had some big, huge thing about it. I somehow skipped right past that, probably because I was moving and didn't have internet access for a week, but Flank pointed that out to me, that the damn Nintendo is 20 years old. I cannot believe that that was that long ago. That is a long time. And yet, you know what? Those memories of that thing were fresh in my mind, and guess what? We're still playing some of those games today. As a matter of fact, aren't you playing right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, see, good games will withstand the test of time. Instead of shoveling out all this crap that we get, you know, every month, here's the hottest, newest thing, you gotta go buy this. But anyway, moving along with the news, I'm sure, did you guys see this Sony's DRM? This is almost more tech-related than it is game-related, but there is a way to make this game-related. But did you guys see the Sony's DRM on that CD where it totally installs this massive fucking rootkit on your machine?
Yeah.
I don't think I did.
Okay. You go out and you buy an audio CD of some crappy country singer or whatever the hell kind of music it is, and you pop this in any normal DVD or CD player, and it'll play just fine until you throw it into your computer when it forces itself onto your system and to use its own player, I guess, and installs some shit so deep into your system. I mean, we're talking like it runs like a driver here, and it fucking just totally takes over your fucking computer. And if you, like, try to do, like, let's say you're doing, like, a scan for, you know, like spyware and viruses and rootkits and all kinds of bad shit. You know, you're trying to keep your box clean and you're scanning for this shit. Your box will pick up Sony's digital rights management software as a rootkit and try to remove it, and it gets itself so deep into your system that when it removes it, you have to reinstall Windows because that machine is not coming back.
Specifically, it modifies your kernel so the hard drive skips over the data.
Holy fuck.
Holy mother of God.
That's
right now.
Rootkits are.
Yeah, what I was seeing on this was that it made a file that started with the $ SYS $ and then anything after that completely invisible.
As I said, it writes to the kernel, so the kernel skips over it on the hard drive.
That is ridiculous. Now the gaming tie-in to this, I'm sure you guys have all heard about World of Warcraft's Warden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so in case the listeners don't know, which of you two know more about it than I do, because I don't know too much about it?
Well, I know that it's basically a spyware program that logs whatever your computer is doing, and then if it finds anything that goes against the EULA and whatnot, it sends that to Blizzard.
Right, and this is, you know, good for them monitoring any kind of cheating programs and spying programs and all this, you know, or anything that you're doing to otherwise hack World of Warcraft, except for the fact that, I mean, I don't know, it seemed like what I was reading on it said it basically, like, monitors every fucking thing that you're doing, and, like, I don't know, Blizzard, like, must be checking up on people or something.
Yeah, it monitors every last thing your computer is doing and then only sends a flag to Blizzard if it's something that's on their list.
Oh, okay. That's still pretty gnarly, though. In any case, using Sony's fucking rootkit here, apparently World of Warcraft cheaters have managed to utilize that to run their hacks on it to keep Warden from finding this on their box.
Exactly what your rootkits are.
Is that not the craziest fucking thing you've ever heard?
It's pretty neat. Of course, you could have done it on your own by making your own rootkit.
Absolutely, but I mean, just the fact that you see this thing come out by Sony, which had to issue some kind of a removal patch for it, by the way, and then said, oh no, this doesn't hurt machines, oh no, we're only doing this just to make people happy, and then it's not damaging to your system, we're just doing this as a public service. But, yeah, I think that was pretty crafty of them. That's pretty crazy that people would think, you know, because most people can't make their own. Most people cannot sit there and, you know, code their own stuff that gets that, you know, involved. I'm sure in the fuck can't, and I don't know anybody that could. Well, maybe a few people that could, but not the majority of the people I know, they can't. So, you know, you get something like this, and most of the people I know seem to play World of Warcraft, oddly enough, they could use this to exploit that.
I'd also like to note that that patch apparently didn't really do anything.
Their fix for it?
Yeah, apparently it just really does nothing to remove it. It just does something very obscure and pointless.
Good job, Sony. Another reason why we love you so much. Okay, I hate to do this, but, you know, Jack Thompson's going to have to come into the news here somewhere, I suppose.
I do not sanction this.
And I don't blame you, but I do believe you're going to do most of the talking about this because I missed most of this whole drama because I was offline the whole time. You know what else happened? I was offline for this whole fucking time during the move and all this. All this crazy shit happened. I finally get back online for 2 days. I'm starting to straighten things out, and my CPU fan decides to fucking just basically fall off my fucking computer and knocks me offline again for another couple of days, which explains my bizarre absence. So I missed all this news.
Awesome. I need the sound effect, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. C4. Okay.
I suck at that.
Yes, you do. Yeah. All right. Gabe and Jack Thompson have been exchanging emails for a while. And, you know, they've been just mouthing off to each other. Very professionally, you might mind that. It's not like, you know, you're gay flaming. It's, you know.
Wait.
We're talking from
Penny Arcade.
Yes, that is.
Wait,
Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember it here. Jack Thompson said that he would donate $10,000 to a charity of the CEO of Take-Two's. The Take-Two CEO choice. Okay, let me rephrase that. He would donate $10,000 to the charity of choice by the CEO of Take-Two Interactive. And if someone would make a game that he describes, does anyone know what that is?
No, I missed it all.
All right. I shall continue on my monologue then. This game was just basically a rather vague plot that there was this man whose son killed a bunch of people, his son got killed by a gamer who played Grand Theft Auto, and he then tries to take out revenge on the gaming industry by going around Grand Theft Auto style into various stores like Best Buy, and then kills people like C4, and then goes to, you know, EA, and then kills other people like C4, you know, just basically killing everyone who's C4.
Fair enough. Carry on, good sir.
All right, then. Go ahead.
He wants someone to make a game that's as violent as all the stuff he's been trying to get rid of with the plot that it all happened because of a violent game.
Yes, this father's taking revenge upon the gaming industry by killing them because one kid killed his kid because he played a video game.
Gotcha. Okay.
Logical. And Gabe sent him this email saying, if this game were to be published, you would have to sue yourself for releasing a violent game like this. And he obviously responded back with his horrible spelling and grammar, saying, don't email me again or I'll sue you. Because that's what he does. He just basically threatens everyone with lawsuits.
Right. He's a lawyer. And he's crazy.
Exactly. And then he phoned. Then Jack Thompson actually phoned him and was rather threatening about it and, you know, just generally harassed him a bit. So after that, Penny Arcade has a charity called Child Play, and it's basically a drive for various hospitals where people can buy stuff off of Amazon, like Game Boys and various other video game-like equipment for these children. And so what they did was they wrote a check for $10,000 to their own charity, and in the comment they said, because Jack Thompson won't. And that started a bonfire, or a forest fire, or some sort of fire.
A big fire.
A very big fire. Well, it wasn't that huge, but still. And basically, Jack Thompson went absolutely insane. What he did was he wrote up a letter to, well, hypothetically a letter to the sheriff of Seattle, which is where Penny Arcade's based out of, basically claiming that Gabe and Tycho of Penny Arcade were harassing him criminally and extorting him for money somehow, even though they never actually requested money at any point. In fact, they gave money in his name.
Yeah, this was because somebody made a mod for Grand Theft Auto to do this, and then he said it was just a joke or something, or he said it as complete satire, and Gabe and Tycho stood up and did that, right? I kind of saw what I tried to follow this story, but I couldn't because I was on and off the internet for like a week and a half there during this whole period of time, so I wanted to make sure I got the full story too. Okay.
I forgot to mention that. Yes, someone actually modded Grand Theft Auto, just like added new skins and new levels, and to you know, be Best Buy or GameStop or wherever, and there was an actual mod for this. And then he came out and said, it's satire, I was joking, I'm not giving $10,000. So, and then then Penny Arcade responded to that with the money. So he sent this letter that he was hypothetically writing to the sheriff, to various news agencies like CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, and then he actually forgot to send it to the sheriff, so a few days later, he eventually sent that letter he wrote for the sheriff to the sheriff after he sent it to other people. That shows you where his intentions are.
Right, this is a big clusterfuck here. I was trying to follow this, and I could not believe, you know, what is happening, but I'm actually really, really, really happy that he has backed himself into this corner now, because I could have sworn I was reading something the other day, like yesterday even maybe, about he now has to defend himself against, like, he's getting reviewed by, like, the bar.
And that's where I get to continue from.
Okay.
The sheriff basically responded back saying, there is no criminal matter here. It's a civil a matter. So if you want to sue them, go ahead and sue them. But this is not a criminal matter, and we're throwing out your mail, paraphrased, of course. And then all the fans of Penny Arcade, who are a lot, sent emails to the Florida Law Board, or whatever the hell they're called, asking for a review of Jack Thompson for various, you know, misusing his legal power as a lawyer in threatening people and, you know, just generally being a dick. And I think they took that rather seriously. And on an unrelated matter, he's actually in a court, I think in Alabama, some southern state, where he has to prove his competency to do a new trial he's doing.
He needs a fucking psych evaluation is what he fucking needs.
He already got one.
I knew this was going to happen one day. I mean, he's just been going off the handle left and right, and eventually he was going to get called on it, and the thunder would come down.
See, I didn't see this happening. I really did not see this going in our favor in any way. And I was actually just completely floored when I heard about the check and what Penny Arcade did. And I'll tell you what, I really, like, I used to love reading their comic, and I read it every fucking day for so long. And then I lost some faith somewhere along the way. It seemed like I was, like, because I didn't even read the comic anymore. I read what they had on the front page, and I loved it. And then all of a sudden it seemed like I was just reading, like, I don't know, like advertisements for games and stuff, you know, like stuff that they had just got their hands on for free and they were talking about. And I was like, damn it, you know, this seems like almost like they're only talking about the stuff they're getting for free. And like it almost felt like kind of forced. And I was like, oh, this blows. And I really was like, nah, fuck those guys. You know, they I don't know. It's not doing too good. And man, I'll tell you what, this, I was like, wow, I read this and I was like, you know what? They really fucking do believe in fucking the good of gaming. And, you know, they put their money where fucking Jack Thompson's mouth was and fucking showed everybody. And now his ass is in trouble. And I really fucking hope that, you know, in the letter that they sent to the whatever the hell they're called, I'm going to call it the Florida, I don't know, bar or whatever, the fucking lawyer people that manage this shit, and they put down, like, examples, you know, of what's going on and where they can research this more, rather than just, hey, keep an eye out on this guy. You know what I mean? Like if they pointed out enough things to where they really take this seriously and have a good case against them, you know.
That would be awesome.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure that even if this goes Jack Thompson's way, it'll happen again in a slightly different fashion.
Yeah, you're probably right, because he keeps pushing it, and he's not going to stop, particularly if this goes his way. He'll really think he's God then.
Yeah, I'll be wonderful. I'd also like to note at this point that I do not sanction this entire segment, because The only reason he has nearly as much power as he does is because people like us and other news agencies talk about him. If we didn't talk about him, he would go away. So I have no way encourage you to talk about him at all. At all. If you see him on, like, Dig or something, don't dig it. Don't. Just don't.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and change topics now because I really want to talk about my Quake 4 experience. All right. You can defend it all you want, and I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to trash the game itself, okay? Not so much the gameplay and the, you know, the mechanics of it and the graphics and the sound and all that. I cannot sit here and give a review because I have more of a horrible tale. This goes back to where I was talking about how awesome it is when you know, there's a, particularly if it's a series of games. You know, when it's a new game coming out and you're reading about it, you don't know what to expect. You get all excited and, you know, it could either be fantastic or it could suck ass. But if it's a game that you know, if it's the, you know, second or third or fourth in a series that you love, you know, you get really excited because you're looking so forward to the new release. This, of course, leads me to Quake 4, which I had pre-ordered because, you know, hey, Quake 3 was just the most amazing shit. Quake 1 and Quake 2 just blew my mind. Quake 3 really, I thought, was just like the pinnacle of deathmatch gaming. And so, of course, you know, hey, Quake 4 is coming out using the Doom 3 engine, which was flawless. Okay, I bought Doom 3 in the expansion, came home, installed them. You know, I ran Doom 3 the day it came out, and, you know, start to finish, no patches. It ran flawless, never had any problems with it. The expansion comes out, I toss that in, it patches it to, like, version 1.2 or something, whatever. You know, no patches beyond that. The game ran flawless. I get a killer frame rate. Not one problem. So, Quake 4 release day comes out. The local Best Buy here did not put it on the shelf on release day because they didn't have, like, the pricing tags printed up, so I had to get it out of the back. So now I'm feeling pretty elite as it is. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, the only person who got it, you know, from the local Best Buy around here because, like, you know, whatever. So I'm stoked as all hell. I'm so happy. I'm holding the special edition DVD version in my hands. I have to sit through a whole day of work before I can go home and play it. I'm just excited to no end, right? So I get home, I mean, I just drop everything, throw that fucker in there and install it, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking on IRC, in fact, with you guys about how excited I am, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm going to be playing Quake in a minute, go, you know, shut the fuck up, hold on, you know, whatever, I'll get some screenshots, I'm all excited, I cannot wait. I click the little Quake 4 icon after it installs, the screen goes black, and it throws me back to the desktop, and I think, okay, well, you know, that's a fluke. I click it again, and it happens again. About the fourth time of me being thrown to the desktop from a straight black screen, I figured, you know, this is my fault. I didn't reboot after the install because God knows, you know, they probably plugged something in there that, you know, I need a reboot for. So I restart thinking, okay, no problem. You know, this will take care of itself. Bam, I click the icon again. Once my machine's all loaded up, black screen, bam, right to the desktop. Can't figure out what's going on. So I turn to the forums. I'm looking around, and I'm running across quite a few people that are having problems with that exact same thing. So I'm like, fuck, okay, 2.5 hours now. Like, this is what everybody loves to do the day they get a brand new game they've waited so long for, is spending hours and hours on a forum just trying to get the fucking thing to run. And I find somebody finally has a solution to the problem. You know, I mean, and there was a bunch of wild and crazy theories about why it doesn't work. It's a Creative Labs thing. It's an onboard sound thing. It's this, that, you know, who knows. Finally, they give me, somebody has this link to this OpenAL, you know, some kind of audio thing, whatever. It's a really tiny little download. I have no faith in it, but I download it anyway because this guy swears it worked for him. I think it's seriously like 200K tops, whatever. I click download and it's all, you know, download finished. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna work. Sure enough, I install it, you know, and I okay, all right, let's try this again. I'm totally defeated now, and the game fires right up. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, I'm so happy. I'm gonna be a quaking motherfucker tonight, right? Got the lights off, I got my soda here, I got the phone disconnected. I am ready to blow some people up, and I start playing. And I'm taking a couple of screenshots, and I pick, you know, I got my little pistol. I'm looking at how neat it looks, and it runs just butter smooth. I mean, it's just flawless. I'm so happy. And I walk, you know, I'm 10 minutes into the game, and I get this gun that I can zoom with now. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. I can dig this. I zoom in once. I shoot some guy in the head, and I drop him. I'm like, yeah, this is dope. And I'm loving it, right? I turn the corner. I zoom in again. And the game completely locks up, just hard locks up on me. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe something stupid happening here, right? Reboot my machine because it's not coming back from the dead. about every maybe fifth or sixth time that I would zoom in on this weapon, the game would completely just hard lock on me. And as far as I could tell, there was no fix. I do run an NVIDIA card, a 6800 PCI Express. I looked back on the forums, and people running ATI cards were able to fix that apparently by downgrading to the 5.9 Catalyst drivers from the 5.10s. Well, I didn't have that luxury, so there was nothing I could do. So, you know, I say, okay, you know what? I gotta play this game. I'm all kinds of excited. I just won't zoom. Okay, so now I'm really fucking myself over, all right? Now, not to mention, installing this sound thing completely disables all sound options I had. So I went from being able to run nice 5.1 EAX, all this crap, to straight 2.0 stereo. Okay, so now as it is, I've hindered myself once with ghetto sound. Now I can't fucking zoom, but I am determined to play this fucking game. Well, through a couple mishaps of accidentally zooming in every now and again, just because it was so cool to be able to zoom in and, you know, headshot people, and the machine locking up, I finally get myself mostly trained enough to get to the point that would take you, you know, a normal person with no problems, to get about, you know, 30 minutes of gameplay in, till I come to this part where, like in Doom 3, you could click on, like, those little elevator button thingies and, you know, whatnot, and there's this one that, like, lowers this bridge and stuff. So anyway, I'm playing along, and I'm good. I haven't had any crashes and lockups or anything for a while. I'm dealing with the sound by using headphones and just telling myself it's okay. And now I click on this little button, and this bridge starts to lower, and the screen goes black. Now, the game is running. I can walk. I can shoot. I can hear things, but it's pitch black. And I cannot, once again, crash the game. It will not let me back out to Windows. It won't do anything. So I reboot once again. And I basically fought with these problems forever. There was nothing that I could do. After that, I kind of just basically threw in the towel. I played for another about an hour, and, you know, once it, I was able to make the bridge move and not get it to crash going up and down elevators and whatever, and the game would just freeze for no apparent reason. I would sit there, and I was walking around like a spaceship or some crap I got into. And, I mean, I just load the zone, and I get in there, and I turn around, and I go, wow, this place is kind of cool. And I go look at, like, this air tank thing on the ground, and bam, the game locks up. And this was, like, you know, maybe the 15th time for no apparent reason. It decided to just freeze on me, and I just had to throw in the towel. I could not do it. $60 for the special DVD edition of this game that I pre-ordered and waited for so long, and I could not fucking play it. End of line. That was a shitty story, and I am extremely pissed. I was so unbelievably steamed about this. You have no idea. I mean, I was pissed off, like, just to no end. It was ridiculous, because this shit should not happen. And the worst part was, it wasn't just me. I looked on the forums, and tons of people were having these exact same problems. Multiple forums, not the forum.
Yeah, that problem actually happened to me, too, the whole black screen crashing to desktop. And I actually got that link for that OpenAL thing from you, and I installed it, and it worked perfectly after that. I had no Zoom crashes. In fact, I don't think it crashed once on me. And it ran even pretty well on my, you know, relatively crappy 9600 XT.
Right, it ran fantastic here, just to make that a point. I mean, the game ran flawless. I didn't think it looked as good as Doom 3, which is fine. I kind of having a little bit of fun, but I played to the point, and maybe you can tell me how long this actually would take to get to if you didn't have the problems, because it took me like 24 hours of gaming to get to this point, but if I didn't have these problems, it might have only taken me X amount of time. I got to the point where you get into your spaceship, Hannibal.
Yeah, that's probably about 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay, yeah, that's about as far as I could get, and it took me like an entire day to get that far. And I, of course, slept in there and went to work at some point, so I mean, I'm probably looking at like, you know, 10 hours of trying, maybe not that long, probably about 6 hours of trying to play this game.
Yeah, that sounds crappy.
Yeah, I was extremely disappointed. I must say, though, now here's the really weird part. If that was only about an hour of gameplay, by that point, I was already pretty tired of the gameplay.
You were probably just tired because you kept crashing and you just got really annoyed and ingrained in your mind. And not even if you played it now, you would have, like, post-traumatic stress disorder where you would just constantly fear. It's like, oh my god, it's going to crash. It's going to crash. Because I've had that before, where I'm doing something that usually always crashes, and suddenly, why isn't it crashing? And then, just from then on in, it's going to crash. It's going to crash.
Yeah, you're right. It's like post-quake stress disorder, I'm telling you. Like, you're probably right. Like, you know, I even have the capacity to play the game again, and I have not even attempted since then. I was so frustrated with this and so bent out of shape that I returned the game. That is unheard of this day and age. I had to pull a favor, but I was able to return it, yeah.
Favor?
Yeah.
Was that sexual?
No, it was not. No, it was not. But I tell you what, I would have willingly sucked the longest cock to be able to return that because I was so pissed off. I was that mad. I seriously, I've never been so mad at a game. You know what? Maybe I was pretty mad at Heroes of Might and Magic 4, but I didn't return that, but I did never play it again after that first day. But, you know, I mean, I have never been so upset in my life, and I cannot fathom how a game that uses the same engine as a game that runs incredibly perfect on my machine could have so many problems. And I basically had to give up. And now here's the best part of the story. I'm sitting here, and I'm bent out of shape, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, here I have this $60 reserved to play this goddamn video game that I waited for so long for and I wanted to play and I thought was going to be the second coming of Christ, you know, and what do I do now? And I'll tell you what, my fears were alleviated. I was saved by a little game. I'm sure you can guess what this is, Afan.
Fear?
Good call. First Encounter Assault Recon rocks my fucking world.
Yeah, it was a good game, and I must say, best AI ever.
You know, when I actually started playing, I was terrified. It was gonna lock up on me and stuff. And it actually took. I didn't even get to play it for about a week and a half after the whole Quake fiasco. I just didn't. You know, I was moving, and when I finally sat down and got to give it a little bit of quality time, I tell you what, I could not be happier. I mean, Quake, out of the $60 I spent for that game, I'd give it a zero. You can't run it. I would not pay a dime for that game because I cannot run it. And I feel so sorry for those people that are out there in the same position as me and don't have the luxury of being able, you know, to basically call in a favor and get their money back on such a heaping pile of shit and yet be saved by First Encounter Assault Recon. This game, it's like, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, it's going to be like Doom 3. It's just, you know, it's just going to scare you. See, now, I have found that this is it's not like Doom 3. It scares me, but Doom 3 was an in-your-face jump, you know, monsters jumping out of their little hidden space behind the wall scare. This is like a environmental terrify. You know, it's like it sets you up and it's very creepy. The whole fucking thing is.
Yeah, it friggin' gets in your psyche. I mean, nothing can be going on in fear, and I'm a little creeped out.
Yeah, that's the worst part of the game, where nothing's happening. That scares you the most.
There is quite a bit of that, too, where you're just wandering around, and like there's like whole sections of levels where I'm like, you know, it would be fantastic if something happened, because maybe I wouldn't be so fucking scared and twitchy right now.
Exactly, but that's their point. Instead of like just startling you like a lot of games try to do, this actually kind of puts the fear in you.
Not to mention creepy little girls, which scares the damn piss out of you. The AI is damn good on this game. The graphics are fucking top-notch, too. And speaking of which, you know, you're not the only one who has to run a game at 800 by 600 to get a decent frame rate out of it there, Zayfan. I actually tried it at 1024 by 768 with everything on high detail, and it ran just a tad slow. When you run that little thing that tells you, you know, your performance, and it basically breaks it down by, like, you know, X amount of percent at 25 frames, and lower, and then it says, like, you know, X percentage of frames were rendered between 25 and 40, and then it gives you another percentage on 40-plus frames per second. At 1024 on all that high-detail crap, I think I was seeing, like, under half of them were running between the 25 and 40 mark, and then just, you know, maybe like a 20%, 25-30% a little bit over that at the 40-plus mark, but that just wasn't good enough. So I dropped it to 800 by 600, left everything on high detail, and I get like 75%. It's more than that. That was like 77 or 80% was between the 25 and 40 frames mark, and I have not noticed a problem running this game at the 800 by 600 on high detail. And it's been running flawless. I only had it lock up one time, and I'm starting to believe that is because of heat, you know, seeing as how like a day later the fucking CPU fan clip broke and it just basically fell off. I figured that's the only reason why it locked up on me, and I've played the shit out of it. I mean, I've played hours of this game, and I just cannot get enough of it. They swear this game is it's just fantastic. You keep hearing fuck and all this great stuff that you just want to hear when you're playing a serious game with really nice guns. The guns feel good. The graphics are fantastic. The AI is great. The enemies look pretty slick. I just wish they varied a little bit more.
Yeah, that's pretty neat how they swear when you shoot them and stuff.
Going back real quickly, that little benchmark thing that they have is actually really cool. And I hope a lot of more games take a page from that.
Speaking of taking a page, did you guys get the special edition and see that commentary thing?
How many discs did it come with?
Maybe we should use my rating system. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't condone that stuff.
This game gets like a 4.2 gigs out of 4.5.
Yeah. My rating system, best ever. Anyways, I want to talk about this commentary. It fucking rocks. If anyone wants to, you know, any game devs who happen to listen to the show, which I highly doubt except for that one guy who made Rise of Nations, take a page from these guys. What they did is they got like five developers, they sat them around a table, they showed a beta tester or somebody playing the show, and basically what they did the entire time is they just commented on it, saying like, see that black clock right there? That used to keep real accurate time. But one of our engineers just had to phone us and say, you know, that's taking too much resources. And then us world engineers were like, we spent a week just making that clock keep accurate time.
Holy shit, that is really fucking cool.
It was awesome.
Like on the DVDs?
Yeah, it's sort of like on the DVDs, except where you actually at points saw the developers talking to each other. And it was just, it was great because they were actually poking fun at each other. It was like, you know, an engineer said, if you have a choice between an engineer and an artist, pick an artist, because as an artist, you can do whatever the hell you want and the engineers have to clean up after you.
Nice.
It was awesome, and I'm disappointed that they only did, like, the first two levels. I would have loved seeing the entire game, because they had a lot to say, and they were constantly pointing out little things, like there's a TPS report on that wall, and, like, we spent, you know, this room
that.
With... yeah. And it's like, there's our names on this work schedule and various other things, and
I
they just
saw
keep
that.
Going around.
It says TPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had all their names on a work thing on the wall too. No, I saw that too. The laptops are all Alienware. I noticed all kinds of shit in this game.
Yeah.
It was. I can imagine watching it and seeing it firsthand, and I must say that I am disappointed in myself for the route that I took with such an amazing game, but I felt so burned from Quake that I had to do something to make myself feel better about it. And I definitely must say, you know what, in fact, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, like, if I have to sit here and give fucking Fear a rating out of $60, because that's the one to buy, is like, you know, the Uber edition, this, I don't see why this would not warrant, you know, like a 58 out of 60. And that's only because I would like to see, have seen different, like more enemies. Like I've basically seen like three different models of enemies. This game is gold.
That's pretty high praise coming from you.
It is. You know
58?
What? And 58 out of 60, because it's, you know, the special edition with the DVD is 60, packed with all those bonuses. The only flaw that I have seen in this game, yeah, the only thing wrong with it is that I keep killing the same dudes over and over and over. However, I must give them credit even for that, because the point is the dudes were all the same anyway. If you followed the story of it, they're all the same. You know, so it's like I can almost not fault them for that, except for that it does make the game feel like, wow, I've done this before, except for they all act differently in every situation it seems like you're in. They do smart things, and I cannot tell you how many times they fucked me up in a scene where, you know, I had to replay the scene five or six times, and every five or six times it was completely different, and I finally had to fall back on something I was trying not to use, and that's the bullet time. It gives you, like, you know, that bullet time thing, and I would have to really fall back on the bullet time to whoop some ass in a really hard situation, but I try not to use it. Like, I've probably used it maybe in like four scenarios, you know, tops, and I'm really far into this game, and I absolutely love it. I have the most fun playing this game, and They've got my money. As far as I'm concerned, they have earned every penny. And I cannot give, you know, I cannot say anything more good about this game because it's perfect. And knowing that the special edition comes with such a cool commentary, that's uber.
Yeah. I'd also like to know how they did some really neat thing with the character models and how you see your character. They keep mentioning in the commentary that they really liked what they did where you can see your legs and stuff. And it does look a bit crappy since it is low resolution since you're looking at it right in front of you. Like, normally it looks fine, but you're looking at a character model right up against your screen. But if you notice that you go into corners and rooms and the shadows, they match exactly to your model. You see your gun, and your gun gives the exact same shadow that you're seeing right there. And I found that amazing.
You know what? I noticed that when I was playing, and I forgot. You know, I just kind of took it for granted. I was just kind of like, wow, that is cool. But I did stop and say, awesome, shadows the kick-ass while I was playing. I mean, this game just blew my mind at every turn.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how much shadows work towards making the graphics just that much cooler.
They do add a ton. Kobar, did you actually, how long did you play this, or did you?
I actually haven't been able to put too much time into it. I got my DS, and I've been playing that ever since.
All right, we're going to skip over to the DS, but I want to hear, well, no, I guess that was all. I guess, yeah, that was about it. In fact, yeah, in the notes, I go straight to the DS.
No. I got to talk about Quake. I didn't get a chance to defend.
There's nothing to defend. It doesn't run.
And for me.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to add too much that the guy, what was the other guy who emailed?
Shit, I don't know. I throw him in the garbage when I read him so I don't accidentally pick him up again.
Awesome. Anyway, the guy who did the mini review, I'm not going to change too much of what he said because it all pretty much stands. It's fast-paced. You run around. You shoot people. There was that awesome scene where you're strapped onto a table and they cut off your limbs. Oh, yeah, baby. Multiplayer, exactly like Quake 3, just exactly like Quake 3. Do you like Quake 3? You'll like Quake 4 multiplayer. The one bad thing about it, they only have a few character models. I was really disappointed because I remember in Quake 3, they had, you know, Eyeball Guy, Hoverboard Guy, Guy with the Cigar in His Mouth. They had tons.
And Minx.
And Minx. The Love Fight C4. But in this, they have, like, you know, Marine 1, Marine 2, Marine 3, Medic Marine, Technician Marine, Evil Guy, slight different variation of Evil Guy, and Skeleton Guy. And that was it. And I was really disappointed in that.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. I noticed when I was playing, too, I felt the same way about the character models. I did not get into the whole, like, you're part of a squad thing. I liked that you could get healed from the medics. That was like, wow, that's awesome. Why doesn't any other game think of that? That was so much better than those stupid med kit things on the wall that we saw in Doom 3 and Half-Life, and I imagine they're in Half-Life 2. You know, I thought it was cool having the medic, but I really didn't like having the squad there. It just kind of seemed kind of like a pain in the ass, but they did do a decent job of having the squad there and the way they spoke to you and everything. It just seemed like it could have been more, I don't know, a little bit more, like, they didn't swear or anything in there, did they?
I don't think, well, slight swearing was like, you know, occasionally they say shit, but the Strog don't swear at you when you shoot them like in fear.
Yeah, right, okay. No, I don't know. I do know a lot of people in the military, and a lot of them have just the dirtiest of mouths, and I would have loved to have heard them, you know, cussing and swearing at you all the time and just saying the fiercest, you know, stuff, you know, when they're giving you orders and telling you what to do, and they're freaking out and everything, and I don't know, I just wasn't even having a good time trying to play that game at all. I'm glad to hear the multiplayer is a lot like Quake 3, but recently I spent, you know, in fact, this last week I spent probably a good 5 hours just playing some Quake 3, and I don't know if you can actually top that. I like the crazy guns. I like the style it was created in, you know, the art style. It's just blazing fast. It was just really awesome. And then I'm looking at Quake 4, and I'm telling myself, you know, God, I just don't see this being, you know, basically Quake 3 Arena version 2. You know, I see it being more like Unreal Tournament without the crazy shit. Yeah, so whatever. Now,
also, the game felt extremely, extremely scripted. It was just scripted, and there wasn't very much conversation except for when you got to a critical point.
So if you were to give it a rating out of $60, because that's how much the special DVD edition that comes with Quake 2 is, what would you say that Quake 4 is worth?
Well, if I include the special edition, you're including Quake 2 and all of its expansion packs. So it's like rating an older game.
Okay, then out of 50 for the normal version.
I'd give it a 30 if you like multiplayer. If you like Quake 3 multiplayer and you have a good computer to play the multiplayer in, because multiplayer runs like shit for some weird reason, even though it's rendering less, you'll like it and you should pay $30 for it.
I don't know if it's rendering less, plus you got to have the deal with the resources of networking and this, that, and the other, and whatnot.
Well, in single player, you're rendering these giant levels, very complex levels. Well, not giant, but rather large levels, and they're rather complex, and you got hordes of enemies, and you have AI to deal with, where in multiplayer, there is no AI. There's only a handful of players, and the levels are very simple compared to the single player levels.
Yeah, the little arenas are going to be a lot simpler than the single player, more detailed type of levels, that's for sure. But okay, 30 out of 50. I don't know, I got pretty bored of it pretty quick, and the character models are pretty weak. Having to install that sound thing to cut off all your sound options to run it on, you know, like whatever the hell it is that you have to run this game. And I think if you have a Creative Labs card and install that, you still have all your sound options, but anything else, I think you don't. And I don't know, like, I could probably see paying $15 for that. I'll say 25 out of 60 if you get the special edition, because I bet Quake 2 works.
Yeah, I played it. It's real fun.
That's all I can say for this game. It's just a pile of shit. Yeah, so I don't know. I was pretty upset, but I don't know. I cannot say enough good about Fear. And I'm going to say right now, that don't be surprised if Fear is my pick for Game of the Year, because I haven't been this just blown away all year long.
And the storyline isn't that bad either.
No, it actually wasn't, too. I actually found myself sitting there listening to it, you know, and not wanting to miss a piece of the story. It's just fantastic. But let's go ahead and move on to the Nintendo DS stuff. I know you guys are drooling, ready to talk about some Castlevania and whatever else.
Get your girlfriend, Kovar. We need Mrs. Barr here.
Yeah, she's played it more than I have.
Holy crap.
Well, she stole it, and, like, I can't get it away from her.
And that's why we need Mrs. Barr. Get her.
She's asleep now.
Oh, that's lame.
Weak.
Just to wake up in an hour.
Oh, yeah, she's got to go to work, huh?
Uh-huh. So anyway, Castlevania is everything Mocker has been saying, and maybe even more. That game is awesome.
So this is essentially, just like he said, worth of owning a DS4.
No, I bought one, definitely. And I secretly.
But there's other games that are just as worthy.
I'm sure there is, and had I not just pissed away $300 on repairing my car fucking 3 days ago, I would have a little bit of scratch left over to spend on something like that, and I'm really quite bummed by that. But, so you went ahead, you got a DS. I don't think we haven't done a show since you got the DS, so, you got Kirby and Castlevania. Then talk until your heart's content. I have to put you on the external speakers for just a minute while I walk away here. I'll be back in like 5 minutes, but I can listen. And I have nothing to say about the DS anyway, so.
Well, I'll also go ahead and talk about Kirby real quick so I can make Zafan want it even more.
Great. No, I can't afford it.
So, like I mentioned in my preview, probably in the last episode, or maybe it was the episode before, but anyway, the game looks a little kitty or maybe even gay. I mean, you have this pink ball and rainbow ink that you have to draw on the screen, and I'm sure everybody's played a Kirby at some point in time. They know that you kill an enemy and you get to suck up its abilities, and so, you know, one time you're like, you turn into stone and you sink through water, and another time you turn into a tornado and you can fly through the air, and this, that, and the other, and those are pretty cool. The real fun just comes in regular Kirby, though. I mean, the levels are just really well designed, and they become very difficult. Basically, you're a ball that just rolls, and if you tap on Kirby, he dashes forward, or does whatever power he happens to have, and your job is to keep him alive and get him to the end of the level, and different things like lasers will go down and you have to block them with the line, or you have to like cause a ramp so that he doesn't roll over the over a cliff. And the gameplay sounds a little basic and whatnot, but the way they make all the level designs and the different things you interact with, and the specialty levels that are designed specifically for each kind of power, and time trial, and this mode where you have to do it with only so much ink, and it's just a blast.
That didn't sound very energetic of you.
I'm getting kind of tired.
All right. As much shit as I give you for playing Kirby, I have to admit, it sounds awesome, and I really hope that the Revolution has stuff like that. I hope they have simple but very fun, innovative games of that style, and that's what I kept talking about, as in simple and fun.
Well, it's a perfectly fine example of what you could do with, like, say, the laser thing. You could have a console version of that kind of game.
Exactly.
Why don't you talk a little bit about Castlevania?
It's awesomeness. Oh, it's awesomeness. It's Castlevania. Similar to the Castlevanias for the Game Boy Advance, it's actually a continuation of, I think it's Area of Sorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Actually, there might be one in between, or it could have been before. It started with a D, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is. But anyways, you play Soma.
This Dark Circle of the Moon?
Yeah, isn't that
yeah, I think
Pink
that
Floyd
was
thing? Dark Side of the Moon. Oh, how I love Dark Side of the Moon. Okay, back to Castlevania. You play this slightly gay, slightly feminine-looking guy with white hair, and frankly, I liked his look a lot better when they drawed him gothic, like a gothic style, where, as this, it's very anime and very flamboyant of him. But that doesn't really matter, because you only see that face of him when you're talking to people, and you don't do that very often in this game. It's similar to, like, the Game Boy Advance ones, where you can kill monsters, and depending on your luck and various other stats, you may or may not steal their soul and gain a power, sort of like Kirby, almost. And the more monsters...
Your stats do affect how often souls drop.
Luck stat, and there's actually a few items that modify, like the Soul Eater Ring will also boost that.
Right, but I was... Did they say that somewhere? I must have missed that.
Mocker told me that.
Okay. It might be in the manual.
It's probably in the strategy guide or something. It's somewhere it says, you know, what stats boost what things, and I'm pretty sure luck does that. And Mocker believes that, too, and we all know Mocker is the definitive Castlevania guy.
Yeah, and that's awesome to know, though, because I was kind of wondering if there was anything I could do to make them drop more often.
You're best off saving all your money for the Soul Eater Ring, because there's a few of those guys out there who will not drop them. Anyway, back to this. Sometimes they drop items, but most of the time you end up using your money to buy one of three stats, which is weapon, armor, and accessory. And you can buy those from Hammer, which is your local selling NPC guy. And in this, there's a new feature. With the excess souls that you gain, you can then synthesize them, or otherwise merge these extra souls, or not even extra souls, the souls you have, with a weapon. And thus it upgrades your weapon.
I was going to say, it doesn't have to be... it doesn't have to be the extra. It can be the only one you have.
But you should use only extra ones, because in order to get the Chaos Ring, you must have 100% souls.
At least one of everything?
At least one of everything. And some of the synthesized weapons require a boss soul. So you should not synthesize with your boss souls until you get the Chaos Ring. Or otherwise, you got to use your Game Plus and get the Chaos Ring then. Which leads me to my next point. Actually, I'll talk about that later. You got the synthesize. You got the NPCs and the buying and, you know, stealing souls. You also have the bosses, and as we all know, the bosses are awesome, so it's sort of similar to the Mega Man style, where they have a pattern, and you have to recognize their pattern, and once you've recognized their pattern, you then have to, you know, sort of dodge their attacks and keep attacking them until they die. And as Mocker mentioned a long time ago, you gotta draw the symbol, which is fun to do, although sometimes annoying, since it really is annoying and really pointless at times.
Yeah, the symbol thing is a little ridiculous. It's the only thing that makes it okay is that there's no timer on it. Once you start it, you have to do it quickly, but you could sit there until Kingdom Come before you grab your stylus.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh my god, I need to get my stylus, and I'm like scrambling to pull my stylus out of my DS, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't time out. That's good.
Yeah, at first I was holding onto it, playing, and just like, and you can't do that. You can't sit there for hours on end holding the stylus underneath.
Yeah, that would have sucked. I'm glad they realized that people are not going to hold their stylus. Also, I learned that I could easily do it with my finger instead.
Yeah, but I certainly don't want to put my greasy fingers all over that screen.
And I'd also like to note, just a general thing about the DS, if you have larger hands, unlike Kobar, you will have issues with the stylus. You'll find it annoyingly small, and you might want to use a chopstick instead.
Even I find the stylus annoyingly small.
Yeah, it was designed to fit into the DS, and the DS itself is not that tall, and I guess it's also designed to be used by 10-year-olds as well.
I would imagine you could probably find a PDA stylus that was quite a bit bigger and just, like, keep it in your pocket or something.
Well, like I said, you could use basically anything that has a pointed end that's not too sharp, and it's not like a pen where it's going to draw on your screen.
That's true, but some of those styluses are pretty nice, and they're designed for touch screens.
Yes, it is. All right, back to the game. You got your exploring, yeah. As Mocker said, the top screen, indispensable, absolutely indispensable. If I not that many games out there for the DS, I can really see, well, that needs the top screen. That requires the top screen. But in Castlevania, you need the map. The map is absolutely critical, and it's always been critical. But now you no longer have to pause to figure out where the hell you are, and I just love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the second screen is not so much critical and physically needed, but it makes it so much nicer that you would never want to go back.
Exactly.
This sounds incredible.
Oh, it is, dude. It is. There's also a very nice thing. I don't know if it's been in the past ones, because I haven't played one since the Nintendo one. But you're allowed to, like, there's a different warping points.
Yes, there is. As you progress through this large castle, it is quite large, you will unlock, you know, half a dozen warp points so you can warp to another part of the map without, you know, having to travel for quite a bit.
Oh, and C4, something else I wanted to say about the DS overall. The other day, I forgot to turn it off. I just closed the lid, and I turned it into power-saving mode. 24 hours later, I turned it on. The battery's still green. In fact, I have, like, 3.5 play hours in, and the battery is still green.
Nice.
So we're always complaining about, like, RPGs and stuff where you have to, oh, my God, there should be save points all over the place. You don't need it because the power-saving mode just uses that little energy.
Right, right.
I'd also
that
like
is
to
uber.
An awesome feature that I just realized for that just sort of hypothetical where you can save anywhere. There is a suspend mode in the game. And what the suspend mode does is it saves, shuts down, and then you can continue from the suspend. And as soon as you continue from the suspend is deleted. So it's not actually a save. It's more like just a continuation where you can then turn it back on and continue from this temporary save file.
Right, yeah, I've seen that in some other games before, too. That is really cool.
So instead of actually saving where your health points go back up and your mana goes back up and all the other, you can just kind of save your progress.
Yeah.
Right, that is cool. I must say, in the Sony PSP's defense, it also has that exact same feature. You can be sitting there doing whatever the hell it is that you want, and you just hit that power button, and the thing shuts off instantly. And, you know, fuck, I did it too. I'm playing along, bam, shut it off, came back the next day, hit the fucking power button again, and within less than a second, you're right where you left off. With the same battery I seem to have before. You're right where you were when you hit that button, and it picks up with like no loading or anything.
But the thing about that is it still has power going through it. It has to keep the power going through the RAM in order to keep the alkylation of the data in there, but it's still using minimal amounts of CPU power.
Yeah, right. It's nice.
I was just saying, I recall past Game Boys sucking up a lot more power than that.
Yeah, with the PSP, and it sounds like the DS2, I mean, it's nothing. I did not notice anything at all. This battery on this damn thing lasts forever. You know, I can sit here and play all day before I have to plug the damn thing in, and I use that little power save thing quite often. It's really amazing, because I use it, you know, when I'm at work a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome. Although I'd like to note, with these proprietary batteries, they will eventually hold less and less power, and will have to buy extra batteries eventually, which will suck.
But at least it's not soldered in like the SP.
Is it soldered in? I don't think it is.
No, but the SP's is.
No.
Or maybe it was. Maybe it was the.
No, the battery's not soldered in.
Maybe it was just the regular Advanced, and one of them was soldered in.
The regular Advanced uses regular AA batteries.
Well, then that can't be it. Are you looking at a battery right now from an SP?
No. Sorry. I was talking about the PSP.
No, mine's not soldered in. The Advanced SP's battery was soldered in.
I never owned one, so I don't.
I've got one right here, but I don't have a screwdriver small enough to open it up, but I'm not so sure it was, because I could have sworn I saw somebody with a battery extender pack mounted on the bottom of the damn thing, but it was part of it. Like, it was clipped into the damn thing and screwed in. Yeah, I could be wrong, though. I could have sworn I saw that one time. One time, just in passing, I happened to see something sticking off the bottom of somebody's Game Boy Advance SP, and it looked like it was, like, all mounted in there and part of it and everything. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess you can just pop that out. But I've never seen it for sale.
But it also could be, it could also plug into the power cord plug.
Yeah, I didn't think I remember seeing a plug on it. It very well might, though. That very well be the case. I don't know. But I know that the PSP, the battery just pops right out. I have seen extra ones for sale. I've even seen little charging stations for them if you use that much fucking batteries. But I don't know. I don't see me needing to buy a replacement battery for a long time. I don't see me buying an extra battery. I see me buying a replacement battery at some point in the future, assuming I don't, like, wear the keys out and break the damn thing, because with games like Burnout Legends on it, I could see me wearing the keys out and the buttons on, out.
You know, recently I've been playing Super Mario Brothers 1 and 3 more often than PSP games.
On the PSP?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, that's going to be a very, very big topic, and we've got about 5 minutes left, I think. So I wanted to get into the whole PSP thing, because I've actually been playing PSP games, playing around with all these different hacks for it, playing around with the emulators for it. I wanted to do a whole big thing on it, and I thought it would actually have been kind of fun to do like a PSP versus the DS show, but unfortunately, they're both really good things, and I don't think I can say bad about either one of them. So I think I'm going to have to cover the PSP stuff, like, in a different episode, because I've actually been putting a sick amount of hours. I cannot leave the fucking house without this thing. I don't even care if I'm going to the store for gas. If I have to sit there for 2 minutes in my car, God damn it, I'm going to get another fucking dungeon finished, you know, in Untold Legends or whatever, do another race in Burnout Legends.
Yeah, next week I want to talk about Trauma Center, because that's a pretty friggin' awesome game, too.
I'd like to note that I, unlike C4 and Kovar, own both. And I'd like to say that they're both awesome, and the fanboys who say one or the other is the best are wrong, because they're both good.
No, I would really like to get my hands on a PSP someday soon.
I don't see a DS replacing this thing, but I definitely see me wanting to play Castlevania in the very near future. But I just can't pull it together right now for something like that. So, but I'll tell you what, I do not see me losing any faith in the PSP anytime soon, because the things that I have to say on next episode is just going to probably blow some minds, because this thing really just, I don't know, it shocked me how awesome this thing really turned out to be. Sony did one hell of a good job on this thing, and props to them. I was going to tack that part of your gamer, whatever the hell it was called, gamer radio, Zayfan, on the end of the episode. But we've got about 5 minutes to kill. I have movies. We've got a bunch of stuff for next week even already. I mean, because I've got a whole bunch of PSP notes here. I've got 3 different movies I saw. Is there anything that we could, that anybody hadn't mentioned or they wanted to talk about to kill the next 5 minutes with?
I know. Linux Link Tech Show. We give shout-outs to you for mentioning us on one of your episodes, I think it was 106, for congratulating us on episode 100. We give congratulations to you for your recent episode 100, and send us DVDs for free because we plugged you.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was cool. You know, I haven't even seen Kobar since I fucking got the PSP or since he got the DS.
And see me since I busted my balls helping you move.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, other than that, I mean, like, real actual time to do something. That was it. We had one day where we moved shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. I knew I had something to kill time with that, like, actually mattered towards gaming that people might want to hear about, not us, like, being pussies on trying to move. Did anybody else see these stories about the Xbox 360 kits that are out at Walmart's malfunctioning?
Yeah, apparently their Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or something was fucking with their wireless PA systems.
I guess it was something was happening with the wireless system, or one of the two, or the Bluetooth was fucking, I heard it was messing around with the Talzone things, those little things those people carry around and zap all the shit on the shelf with. I don't know, I didn't even hear about that directly. Like, I didn't read the story or nothing. Somebody happened to mention that to me, and it was, in fact, just like this. I tried to mention the graphic problems with the Xbox 360 that's been creeping up, and the exact same thing happened. Somebody said, oh, yeah, it's interfering with it. And I was like, what are you fucking talking about? So I didn't know. But apparently, there was a lot of people taking pictures of Xbox kits either looking like complete shit when the ones that are set up, or they're having massive graphical corruption, a lot like when your video card overheats.
Wait, am I a total retard and missed the launch of Xbox 360? Or are you talking about like the display model?
The display models that are set up at like Best Buys and electronics boutiques and fucking GameStops and particularly the ones in Walmarts. I guess the ones that are in Walmarts are differently than the ones that are at these other places. And a lot of them, well, okay, first of all, there was a whole thing about, oh my god, this thing looks blocky and crappy. And it turns out what it is that some of the people that are setting these units up aren't setting them up properly. You know how if you have like an LCD monitor that has a native resolution and you set your resolution to something way low or way too, you know, and it looks all fucked up and it's like kind of choppy and everything doesn't look proportioned right. Apparently that's happening. Right, that's happening a lot of the time, and people are looking at the Xbox 360 saying, oh, this looks like crap, I can't believe it. But those are all supposed to be like high definition monitors, and people just aren't setting them up correctly. And so anyway, that's not really the point of what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was that, have you guys ever like overclocked your video card, or seen one overclocked, or had a video card overheat, and you're playing along and you have textures disappearing and like all kinds of weird random shit happening on your screen, and like, you know, just triangles forming all over the place?
I had a fucked up video card that had artifacts, so yeah.
Right, exactly. A video card dying will do the same kind of thing also. And apparently, there's a whole bunch of this happening. As far as I can tell, it's only happening at Walmart so far, and it's not by no means like a large amount. It's like a few. Like, it's probably happened like 5 or 6 times. And there's pictures, people going into a Walmart to the Xbox 360 display with their little cell phone cameras and taking pictures of it, and the games are running, and you're seeing massive graphical corruption on the screens.
That's not
quality
good.
Yeah, now I don't know what to think about this. My initial guess is one of two things. I'm going to say this either has to be, you know what, shit happens in manufacturing and some bad units get shipped out the door. However, these are the very same units that we're going to be buying, and if they've shipped out some to, you know, some Walmarts, and then, you know, you've got, you know, quite a few problems cropping up there, but that's still not too many when you've made, you know, a couple hundred thousand or however many they've made. But I'm willing to bet it might just be an overheating problem.
That's the whole point, though. I mean, if they've sent out just a couple hundred for display models, and you're seeing 10 or 15 that are like this, think how many are going to be like that when they're shipping them by the thousands.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd also like to give the theory out there that they are keeping these things in, like, you know, small plastic tubes to, like, keep people from fucking with them. So it's not really giving that much ventilation in there, so it just might be, you know, bad environmental conditioning.
Exactly.
That's also true. They're behind glass.
Right. The ones I was hearing, that the Walmart ones, though, are different, like the display. And what I was reading, in fact, I think the Inquirer had a whole thing on it. I don't mean the fucking tabloid. They had a thing on where, like, the EB ones and the GameStop ones, those were working just fine because they're in a different stand, and they weren't set up by the Walmart people. And a lot of the Walmart ones were set up by Walmart people incorrectly, and there's not enough ventilation in their system, in their encasing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It'll
probably be better in open air in the living room.
Like, for example, if you want to do an experiment at home, put a blanket over your computer and see how long it takes for your CPU to hit 70 or something.
I do not condone that experiment. Yeah, kids, do not try that at home. Jesus Christ.
Most motherboards these days will automatically shut.
Yeah, no, they will. They'll just shut the machine off, but it's still not a good idea to do. I had my Dreamcast overheat once because I had it too close to something else, and I blocked off that little fan hole they had there. What the hell is the word I'm looking for? And, yeah, that was not pretty either. I was not too happy about that. But I'm still worried, though, because I'm guessing that this was a problem with overheating. It was my initial thing. And then I thought, well, no, I was reading forums, and they were like, you know, they made the point that, you know, yeah, you're going to ship a few hundred thousand, you know, you're going to run into these problems.
It's not blue. It's black.
Okay, no. First, there was a black screen crashing of an Xbox in a Walmart somewhere. It's a black screen of death. It says error number 74, system error, contact Xbox customer support in like a gajillion different languages, and it gives the address www.xbox.com/support. Nobody knows what caused that crash.
Awesome. At least they don't shove out a hex address to you. It's E74. Not, you know,
yeah.
OX, you know, insert 8 other digits here.
Exactly.
Microsoft doesn't even know what the problem is?
No. They're not. They haven't said what it was. Just like the people that have seen this and posted the screenshots and wherever the hell I remember seeing that from, Xbox scene. Nobody seems to know what it is. But there's a screenshot on the of what I'm talking about this creepy graphical corruption that I just tiny URL'd for us. It's tinyurl.com/B as in boy, E as in Eric, Z as in zebra, the number 7, and V as in Victor. And you can see this screenshot is just ridiculous what happens to this thing when it overheats or has some kind of a meltdown or whatever the hell the problem is, or whether it's just faulty units going out.
It's kind of pretty.
Yeah, it's kind of psychedelic. You know, it's funny as shit, too. Look at the bottom of that screen, the reflection of the Samsung monitor. You can see the dude's face holding his little camera cell phone up to it.
Yeah, you can.
That's great. Anyway, yeah, those are some not pretty artifacts. But what I find the most interesting about this little article here on wherever the hell this was, planetxbox360.com, is that you see that there was two pictures of corruption, and for some odd reason, the second picture was removed. So I don't know if that was Microsoft or the guy who sent it in didn't want it because maybe it showed his face too well or something, but whatever. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
I hope these things don't have problems.
Yeah, it just says on request. It doesn't say who requested it.
Yeah, usually it says on request of Microsoft Corporation. But thanks so much for pulling this together. It's fucking 2:30 in the morning. I didn't think we were going to do a show this week, but I was all pissed off and fired up. And then I heard that Zayfan and Zombie and Mocker had two attempts at trying to make a show for this week. And I guess the audio problems kept everybody from, or kept those from coming out.
If you guys want to edit them, yeah, you can have them.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. There's not even a whole lot there worth anything.
It wasn't that bad. There's some honest laughing statements where I explain my rating system and some other stuff.
All right, well, we're going to leave it at that then, and I guess we'll see you next week because everything should be smooth by then. Peace out.
Later.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say, hi, Mom.
No, I'm not going to say that this time. I'm just going to say, yeah. On behalf of Kobar and C4, I'd like to apologize for the last 3 weeks of no shows. We attempted to make a show, and by we, I mean myself and a few other fans, as well as Kobar, he actually jumped in briefly, but it failed. It actually failed twice. It turned to shit both times, and now that we've actually got the recordings and we're listening over them, both of our recordings fucked up over TeamSpeak, so either one of us sounds extremely, extremely loud, and that's why I sound a lot louder than everyone else. And to just demonstrate on how shitty this was, I'm just giving you guys the outro, which is sort of funny. It's only a few minutes, but this is our apology thingy. Yeah.
Alright then.
I'm Zathan. NC4. All at the same time.
And I'm Arthur.
God.
Bobby.
You gonna sing some more there?
Me? I'll sing? Yeah. What?
When Mike Mako was singing there.
I was
Zombie?
Singing.
Yeah.
We're closing up, guy. Say your names.
Zombie.
Can't you say this is Zombie? Stop failing. I'm not editing this part. This part will be raw. Then people can hear what travesty this is. Zombie.
Well, go on.
Cut out, man. It's gone. It's out. This entire chunk is out. Okay.
I saved you, man.
I'm Zathan. I'm Zathan.
I'm Zombie.
I'm Maka.
Tovar, say something. Can you leave again?
Yeah,
I'm
Tovar. Yeah,
state your name and say your bye. Now!
My bye?
Never mind. Let's do this again. I'm Zathan, in place of C4 for some reason.
I'm Zombie, here for hooks.
I'm Mocker, here for Cobalt.
And even though I was here, I'm Cobalt. Here for... Ooh. You need to edit that part out.
What?
Nothing.
Is that his name?
No.
You let that slip so easily, man.
That was terrible, Koba.
I know. You have to edit that out.
Then we have to do it again. Oh my god, we can't get through this section, can we?
Come on, guys.
Alright, let's do it one more time.
Okay. I'm Zathan, in the place of C4.
Yeah, this is Zombie, in the place for hooks.
This is Mocker, in the place of Cobalt.
And even though I was here, this is Cobalt, here for Wolf.
You're not going to do your Chinese thing now?
Oh yeah, here for Wolf!
Awesome.
Bravo.
And this is Gamer Radio with two R's. Remember, it's two R's. It's not Game Radio. Don't compare us to Game Radio. We own them. Right, Cobar?
Yeah, sure.
See? Yeah, even the co-host himself admits it. And I say, I don't say later. Because that's what C4 does. I'm better than that.